Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for that song, and thank you, ladies, for your singing. I was thrilled last spring when I learned that our Bible study for the next 2 years was going to be about the Holy Spirit. Because over the years, I have not honored the third person of the Trinity along with the Father and the Son, and that was my loss. But the Lord doesn't waste a thing. He uses our failures and our victories all for His glory and for our good. So thank you, ladies of the committee, for bringing this study to us called Living Beyond Yourself, Exploring the Fruit of the Spirit. Beth Moore describes such a life as a glorious freedom, a life free from sin, self, and Satan, but not free from hardships, a life crucified to self and alive in Christ that requires a faith like Abraham, who believed the promises of God, and he is called the father of faith. It is a life of childlike faith that our Abba Father has invited us into, a life filled and overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit, a life designed by God for all who believe in His Son, Jesus. The portion I will be sharing this morning is called To Live by the Spirit. And today's treasure verse is Galatians 5, verse 16. Thank you. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. How can we live free from the desires of the sinful nature? Well, Romans 8, verses 8 and 9 tells us, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. However, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God's purpose has been to restore man to his original place in the presence and possession of God, and in his original image and likeness of God, holiness. Because of Adam and Eve's unbelief and disobedience, man lost his original image of holiness and his original place in the presence of God, and he no longer belonged to God, because holiness and sin can't exist together. About a decade or so ago, I started thinking more about God as the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one, in union and in accordance with each other, but distinct in their works. I had received Jesus as my Savior 20 years before that, but I'd been depending on myself to live the Christian life. I was not acknowledging or depending on the Holy Spirit. I realized at that time that I was unintentionally grieving the Holy Spirit, and therefore I was not pleasing God. Since then, I have become more aware of the work the Holy Spirit desires to do in me and through me. It requires a yielding of my will to the Father's perfect will. It requires a humble obedience like that of Jesus, and it requires a childlike faith and dependence on the Holy Spirit in me, working in me to do the yielding, the humbling, the obeying, and the depending, because I couldn't do it myself. I had tried for years and failed. It's not my doing. It's His doing it in me. I began to see the Trinity as the Father's good and perfect will of love. God the Son as the Word and the living truth of that love. And God the Holy Spirit as the divine power of that love. The love of God is a self-sacrificing love. The love of man is self-centered, self-seeking, and self-serving. In salvation, I see the Trinity as God the Father who planned it before the foundation of the world, God the Son who provides it through faith in His life, death, and resurrection, and God the Holy Spirit who empowers it by His divine grace working in the hearts of believers. Today we will look at how the Holy Spirit works in creation, salvation, how He worked in Christ's life, and how He works in the believer's life, beginning with creation. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless, empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The King James Version says, the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. So, I looked up the word move in the dictionary, and I was blown away. There's more than 20 definitions that I felt related to the Holy Spirit's work in us. To move is to change position or place. The Holy Spirit does both. He changes our position by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. We become a born-again child of God and are no longer orphans. We belong to Him again. He changes our place by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He places us into the body of Christ. Whether we are Jew, Gentile, slave, or free, we all become one with God in Christ. To move is to affect, arouse, touch, feelings, passions, sympathies. Those words speak of the heart, the place of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:27 calls it the hidden mystery of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and it is the eternal guarantee of His abiding presence. So we are in His presence again. To move is to take action for a design or purpose, and that speaks to the action the Holy Spirit took in the design of creation. The Spirit of God was moving over the waters, and we can only imagine what that power was doing. To move is to cause, influence, inspire, operate, work, produce, keep in motion, excite, stir, draw, push, pull, guide, and direct. All of those words speak to the filling of the Holy Spirit who works freely in hearts that are yielded to and controlled by the Holy Spirit in them. This is what was missing in my life for 20 years because I was not yielded to or controlled by the Holy Spirit in me. I had desired it at times, but desiring it is not the same as denying and yielding. I've used some of the definitions that I mentioned to describe the filling of the Holy Spirit. He draws us to himself. He causes us to love God's laws and inspires us to obey them. He stirs us to love our neighbors, operates in us by conforming our will and transforming our minds. He pushes us to press on in spite of our circumstances. He produces in us the fruit of the Spirit. He guides us into all his truth. He directs us in our prayers. He keeps in motion the streams of living water that flow from within us. The word move is powerful. And we need to pray that we will give the Holy Spirit in us the freedom to move as he wills by believing that we have been crucified to self and we are alive in Christ. Yield to him and give him control. Let's look at how the Holy Spirit moved in the life of Jesus, beginning with his birth. Matthew 1:20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. His baptism. Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. His temptation. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. His crucifixion. Hebrews 9, 14b. Christ, who, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God. His resurrection. Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. All of these events in the life of Jesus needed to occur before he could return to heaven and be glorified, that is, seated on the throne, given dominion over heaven and earth, and given the authority to send forth the Holy Spirit from the Father. John 7, verse 38 and 39. Thank you. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Prior to the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did not dwell in the hearts of all God's children. This was a new ministry of the Spirit of the glorified Christ. We heard how the Spirit moved in the life of Jesus. How much more then do we, as children of God, need him moving in our lives? In closing, we will see how the Trinity works in the life of a believer through the parable of the vine and the branches. God the Father is the gardener, the heavenly keeper of the vineyard. God the Son is the vine, totally dependent on the gardener. God the Holy Spirit is the life-giving sap of the vine. Believers in God the Son are the branches. That's us, ladies, abiding in the vine and partakers of the heavenly life of the Holy Spirit, moving through them, producing the heavenly fruit. God's word is the hammer that breaks and opens up our hearts that can then be poured out and then be filled up and poured forth. It is the fire that consumes and refines, the sword that slays all that is flesh, and the pruning knife removing and cleansing away all of self that hinders the moving of the Holy Spirit. Join with me now in naming the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Like the wind, we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we certainly can see the action he takes, the changes he makes, the influence and effect he has in the life of a believer and in the life of the church. If you call yourself a believer, then believe what God has said in his word about himself, his Son, his Holy Spirit, and about who you are in Christ. Believe also that you can live beyond yourself when you live by the Spirit in you. Let's give God a great big hand. Thank you.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have